eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we draw aside into thy holy presence this morning hour, and we do thank thee that this is thy day. And Father, our hearts look forward in anticipation, Lord, to thy presence with us and thy blessing upon us throughout this Lord's day. We come to meet around thy feet just now and to consider thy word and the message thou hast given to us. And we desire to see the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and to rejoice in him who has brought eternal cheer to our souls, in that we have been washed in his precious blood, that we have been delivered from eternal punishment, because he has paid all our price. We thank thee for salvation and the reality of it in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that as we meet before thee, thou wouldst come and speak to our hearts. Thou wouldst encourage us once again and pour us out a blessing, we pray of thee. We think on the children this morning again, and we do pray that thou wouldst bless the boys and girls. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst draw them all into the kingdom, that they might know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, individually as their Saviour. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst bless their families and that thou wouldst save, Lord, their brothers and sisters and their mums and dads where salvation is required. Bless thy servants who minister unto them. Lord, presence yourself with them and give them strength and liberty in the teaching of the word. And throughout this day, Lord, bless us and be with us. Bless the Reverend Greer, we pray of thee. We thank thee for thy dear servant. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst minister to him and strengthen him and encourage him, Lord, in all the burden that he carries, Lord, regarding the ministry in this church and also in the mission at this time. We pray for Castle Gore Mission, Lord, that thou wouldst continue to work, that thou wouldst bless the needy souls that gather in. Follow after those who have heard thy truth already. And Lord, break the chains that hold sinners, Lord, this day. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art the one who has broken the power of cancelled sin. And so we come to consider thee. Bless us now, we pray of thee. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his eternal glory. Amen. If you would turn with me, please, in your Bible to the New Testament Scriptures, the Gospel according to Matthew and the chapter 9. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. We'll be turning to two other portions as well in the course of our study. We want to consider this portion first of all, just to set the scene for what we're going to consider today. You're very welcome to the Bible class. Good to see you all gathered out this morning, and to those who join us through the webcast ministry, we do welcome you. We're so pleased to have you as a part of our number today, and we pray that the Lord will bless you as you listen on and consider the Lord's message this morning. So let us read then the Word of God. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And the Lord will add the blessing to the reading of his precious truth publicly today. My late mother and my father, in years gone by during the 1980s, and well into the 1990s before they retired, employed themselves in the running of a home, a residential home and convalescent home for the elderly. And it was a family-run business, and it was a great blessing to us all insofar as many of the Lord's children in their latter years were able to spend time there, and we rejoiced in getting to know them and to have fellowship with them. The Reverend John Wiley was one of the number, and many's a good time we had speaking to our dear brother before he went home to the glory. There were some retired missionaries amongst that number. But no matter who the people were, it was good to know that here were folk who had lived their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ and had much to say of him as their Savior. There was three old sisters amongst that number, Helena, Rosalie, and Emmeline Sims. And three dear blessed saints they were indeed. And they were a blessing to us all and a great encouragement, whether to the family or to those who were employed there or indeed to the other elderly residents. There was one of the sisters, old Lena, as we knew her affectionately, and she was very meticulous and very diligent about sharing the word with all whom she came in contact with. And she wrote a Christmas card one time to my mother and father, and quite simply inside it said, "Three good cheers from the Lord for Christmas and the New Year." And she had three wonderful scripture references written inside the card. My father reminded me of this fact in recent times, and as I considered those portions of scripture, the Lord blessed those truths to me. And quite simply this morning, I want for us just to consider those three good cheers from the Lord, because he is saying to us, "Be of good cheer, cheer up thy spirits." It may be that throughout life we succumb to feelings of uncertainty and disappointment and sorrow and fear and loneliness, and we could go on with those things that affect us day by day and as the months and years roll by. And we must recognize that as we go through life, we must travel the valleys as well as traveling the mountaintops, back as veil can be along the route of our way. And it is therefore at times that we come with some trepidation and we exercise some concern. But no matter what comes to us in life, no matter what affects us upon this earth, during our sojourn in this scene of time, the Lord God, our Savior, says to us and repeats to us, "Be of good cheer." We have read Matthew 9 and verse 2, there where the Lord has said to this sick one, "Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." This is the first of the three that we want to consider. And what greater message is there to cheer the soul than this? Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. I would say to you that this is the greatest word to any soul for all eternity. And as we face each new day with all its unknown quantities and all their yet as unknown temptations, with all the unknown attacks upon on our spirits and upon our persons, those doubts and fears that come along, we have a reminder this morning that the Lord is saying to us and reminding us that although many years have flown by, each day that we experience is a fresh opportunity to know, to live, and to experience that salvation today is as assured as it ever has been in the years gone by. We put our hand in the Lord's hand and we hear the voice of our great high priest as he says to us, "Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Nothing has changed. Salvation is eternally ours. It cannot be taken away from us. It cannot be thrown away. because of the mere passing of time or whatever we do, because salvation is in Christ, and He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord Jesus Christ is eternal. And when we look at this passage, we see that this dear man was brought to the Lord for physical healing. But there was a greater healing that he needed. He was sick with more than the palsy. He was also sick with sin. And no doubt, as he came into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that day, he felt his sin more than he felt the ailment of his palsy. He knew then that he needed not just a healing word for his body, but he needed a saving word for his soul from the Lord, as well as the healing that he needed. And he received that day a cheer that pardons. That's what this cheer is. Be of good cheer, thy sins forgiven thee. It's a cheer that pardons. And I'm sure, dear brother and sister, this morning that we remember well, don't we, the time that we were saved. The spirit of deep conviction had fallen upon us. The depth and darkness of eternity was looming large before us. The heat of its punishment was visited in a warning to our hopeless situations. And a burning conscience had befallen us, reminding us of that terrible sinful estate into which we had been born. And crying in our ears was this thought, I'm lost. I'm lost for all eternity. But in saving grace, we were enabled to know the one who had made that satisfaction for sin before the Father, and to cry to him. We came and we cried to him, Lord Jesus, save me, forgive me for my sins, and lead me in the way everlasting. And that sweet voice of comfort came to us in an instant. Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. What a voice, what a cheer to the soul. We see the cheer that pardons. And I'm reminded of the words of the psalmist, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. It's a cheer of pardon, this, but indeed it is also a cheer of great provision. And Christ is our all. He is our prophet, our priest, and our king. He is not just a person to follow as the fashion of this world is, but he is one to whom all our lives are given, by whom our lives are guided, in whom we all live eternally. This word of cheer is deep. There's a marvelous depth to it. It contains our justification, our adoption, our sanctification, and our glorification. And you will notice that it says, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven you. You see, this man was a Jew. He was a child of the house of Israel. And when we study the children of Israel in Scripture, we see the whole Levitical system of priesthood and its feasts and its sacrifices at the tabernacle of the testimony and later at the temple in Jerusalem. It was designed and observed thoroughly with the satisfaction of God's law in mind. And we recall that in Galatians chapter 3, Paul says to the Jews, we were kept under the law. He talks in language that the law was a schoolmaster. But then it all changes. He says, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And what a cheer, what a wonderful cheer is brought to us by this great provision in the Lord. We are adopted into the family of God. And when we realize this great fact, then we must also recall that this provision is bounteous. For we also have received justification through the promise of the great comforter. We have that work of sanctification carried on in our hearts and by the Holy Ghost day and daily, so that we can say with the Apostle Paul, I must increase, I must decrease, and he must increase, that we may die more and more unto sin and live more and more unto righteousness. So this cheer imparted in the story of this poor sick one is a cheer of pardon and a cheer of provision, but it's also a cheer of peace. What greater word of peace can there be to our hearts? Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. This old world has no message for us like this. The world cries peace, peace, when there is no peace. The message of this old world is a false message. It is empty. It is fruitless. It is deception. And in these last times, of course, we know there are many Christs, with a small c, of course. They bring a false message. They bring their alternative means of getting to a paradise of their own imagination. And they say that we must do this and do that and try this, and well, all will be well eventually. But listen, if you're unsaved this morning, what this passage is saying to you, that is only the Lord Jesus Christ who can give you this cheer of peace. He is the only one who can bring peace to the soul. He alone says, my peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you. We are saved for all eternity. And when sin and temptation come, and when our souls grow weary and times emerge where our hearts grow cold and perhaps failing and falling comes, yet the Lord brings his cheer of peace to our souls, because we know that he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In him we have a good cheer, a cheer that brings promised peace, and that peace that passeth all understanding. But there's another cheer that we want to read, and if you turn just over the page or two to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, we see this passage here where the Lord came in the midst of the storm. The disciples were out there in that little boat, and the waves were tossing them about, and they became alarmed. All the people on that boat became alarmed because they saw the Lord and they thought it was a spirit and they were afraid. But the Lord said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. We know the story. It goes on to explain how Peter went on to the water to walk to the Lord, and he became concerned for the water lapping around his legs, and he looked to himself and he began to sink into the dark water. But the Lord says in this circumstance, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Here is a cheer of comfort. Be not afraid. There is but one way to travel across the tempest of life, and that is to keep our eyes upon the Lord. Take our eyes away from him, and we will endure the long night of trouble and turmoil and danger. He says to us, it is I. And here we have the one who is the great I am, the one who is, whoever was and is and ever shall be. And in this text, he speaks with an emphatic voice. He says, I am here. I am present. I am a very present help in trouble. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I'm sure we all hold on to that very dearly, those words from the Savior himself. I am here. I am with thee. It is I. And we may often be afraid when the night comes, when the storm blows across our bows. But with our eyes on our loving Savior, our blessed Shepherd, all is light. The darkness is dispelled. And the tempest, no matter what comes in our life, the tempest is calmed. He is always with us. And we see this, that at the very point of Peter's need in this portion in Matthew chapter 14, at the very point of Peter's need, the Lord didn't leave him to sink. The arm was outstretched, and Peter had the rock to cling on to. And he found that his Savior was always there. And he never leaves us. We know that in our own lives. I mentioned to you old Lena, as we affectionately knew her. One of my father's duties, as well as looking after the finances of that business, he did from time to time have to become involved in the domestics of the place. And he went in one morning to retrieve a breakfast tray, and there was old Lena sitting up in her bed with her prayer covering on, and she had been praying to the Lord. She had her Bible open on her lap, but she had fallen asleep. She had succumbed just to the lack of energy in her elderly years. The three sisters lived well into their 90s, each and every one of them, but she had fallen asleep. So my father removed the tray, and sometime later he went just to deliver the morning post, and Lena was good at writing the letters to many Christian just to encourage them. And when he went in, old Lena said to him, "I'm sure that you had a bit of a laugh at old Lena, that she had fallen asleep whilst she was praying." And of course my father had to blush a little. He had to admit truthfully that, yes, at her expense, he had had that little laugh that she had fallen asleep. And old Lena looked at him and she said, "Yes, well, I may have fallen asleep as I was speaking to the Lord. But you know, when I awoke, my Lord was still there. He was still with me." And how wonderful it is to have such a faith, such a close walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, that her whole time, all her years, even in those elderly years, the Lord was always with her. She knew him closely. It's also a cheer of great courage. Peter took his eyes off the Lord. He began to try and walk in his own strength, and he was troubled by his precarious position upon the deep. But there was that outstretched arm. And the word was to Peter as well, be not afraid, Peter. Look to me. It is I." Peter had seen the storm. He had taken his eyes off the one who was in control of the storm. He had taken his eyes off the one who could not perish in the storm of his own creation. And so we are encouraged, and we set our faces to the future in the Lord's will, to trust completely in the Lord who says to us, "It is I." And we hear the word of the Lord to Moses as he speaks to the people, that word that was given by the Lord: "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." So this Matthew 14 portion is a word of comfort. It is a word of courage, but it also is a word of chastening. And this is not to be shied away from, because we know that whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And when we look further on down this passage, we see that the Lord speaks directly to Peter, and he says, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when we look back on our own life's experience,
No doubt we, each one of us, can recall times when we looked at our own circumstances and we wondered how we would see it all through. Surely we cried at times, "Woe is me, for I am undone." And it seems that when circumstances unexpected and that great burden of weight arrived, it seemed that there was no hope, that the waves of adversity in our lives would overflow us. But then that blessed chastening comes, "O ye of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt?" And submitting then to his control, as we take that word upon ourselves, we would see victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter achieved a great victory that night time, for the Lord was there. The victory was Peter's in the Lord and upon the Lord's strength. And victory in our lives we see in him. We would say with the hymn writer, "O victory in Jesus my Saviour forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath his cleansing flood." Which brings me to my final point this morning, and we would turn to the third good cheer, and that is in John's Gospel, chapter 16, and the verse 33. John 16, 33. "Behold, the hour cometh," verse 32, "behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And here is the third good cheer from the Lord. Listen again. "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We have here the Lord's victory cheer. The context here is when the Lord was imparting to the disciples those things which should occur immediately with regard to his going to Calvary. He was letting the disciples know that although they were soon to be scattered abroad, although from him they would soon be parted, although he was about to be betrayed and delivered up to the death of the cross, yet the Lord could say, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." This great statement is the prelude to his intercessory prayer with the Father that we read of in chapter 17. And when you read down chapter 17, and we read it prayerfully and carefully, we'll see that it is offered to the Father in the context of victory. The victory of the cross, for he says to the Father, "I have completed the work which thou gavest me to do." Even though in time he had yet to go the way of Gethsemane's lawns, and then to Gabbatha's courtroom, and then to Golgotha's brow, yet in his desire to be glorified again with the Father, with the glory with which he was glorified with the Father in the beginning, he was already claiming the eternal victory of the cross. And in that prayer, having prayed for his own glorification, he prays for the apostles and for all his people and for the church that they would be kept from evil and the pains of this world. And so as we endeavor to live our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, as we seek to serve him and to stand unashamedly for his gospel, as we strive to tell men and women and boys and girls of their need of the Redeemer, let us not enter upon it in the attitude of defeat. Rather, let us stand into the victory of Christ's cross. That victory afforded by his crown. For we serve the mighty victor over death and hell. and the flesh and the devil. Let us, as we serve him, push ahead with vigor and with victory. The chorus of the hymn put it well, then forward still, 'tis Jehovah's will, though the billows dash and spray, with a conquering tread we will push ahead. He ruled the sea away. This is a victory cheer, but it is also a cheer that encourages vigilance. We have to watch the world as our enemy. The Savior's words here show us clearly that the world is a foe to be resisted. It is to be refuted and to be refused. We must be vigilant. The world has its ways, it has its laws, its standards, and it expects that these ways are to be conformed to and respected and followed. But to the Christian, God's ways are perfect. We are not to be conformed to the world because there is a way that we must walk. And when we read the scriptures of Psalm 119, and I would urge you to get to Psalm 119 and go through it, and you'll see that David the psalmist shows that there is a very clear way in which the Christian must walk. From verse 30, you will read that the psalmist says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I led before me. Verse 32 says, I will run the way of thy commandments. Verse 33 says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. And then on further, it says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. We are to be in the right way. We are to walk there. And so we are of good cheer because there is a right way to be walking, the way of God's redeemed ones, reminding us that redemption only comes by the way of the cross and the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this third cheer is a cheer of victory, and it is a cheer of vigilance. But lastly, as we come to a close, it is a cheer upon his virtue. He says to us in this third text, I have overcome the world. Our blessed Lord Jesus Christ is the overcomer. He is the conqueror. We're reminded in Revelation chapter 6, and verses 1 and 2, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great conqueror. His example is ours. His encouragement this morning is ours. And if we are to be thoroughly happy in the Lord Jesus Christ, we of course must trust and obey, as the old hymn chorus puts it. The Lord Jesus Christ desires that we should be like him, that we also should be overcomers. Indeed, he sets it out quite clearly for us that we must strive by faith to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. To overcome sin on the basis of Calvary's cross and the precious shed blood. And what a reward will be ours. He promises it. If we are faithful, then we too can partake of the victory. If we are vigilant, then we will be victorious, but it's all upon his virtue. And we recall throughout the chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, the Lord gives us the promise of great blessings if we are to become overcomers. And so listen as we close, dear brethren and sisters, this morning to all these blessings that are listed there for us. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. To him that overcometh, he shall not be hurt of the second death. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written. To him that overcometh will I give power over the nations. And I will give him the morning star. The same will be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. To him that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in the throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He wants us to be overcomers. What cheer the Lord brings to our souls this day. I close with the words of this hymn. You know it well. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus by his presence all divine? True and tender, pure and precious. Oh, how blessed to call him mine. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. He's the fairest of 10,000. In my blessed Lord, I see. May the truth and the reality for our experience be the three cheers, these three good cheers. May that be our experience as we wait upon him and live our lives for him. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts this morning. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we thank thee for the reality of thy Son, whom thou didst give in thy love to save the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank thee for the reality of a living Savior in our lives and in our souls. We thank thee for the good cheer that he has imparted to us. Time and time and time again, he has said, be of good cheer. But we thank thee that we're not to be cheerful in our own ways, or in man's ways, or in the world's ways. We thank thee, Lord, the message to our heart is, be of good cheer in him and in him alone. Bless thy truth to each one of our hearts, we pray of thee. Bless thy word. What has been of man, Lord, may it fall to the ground. Lord, lead us on with thyself because we need thee. We need thee more each day. Bless us now. Take us to the prayer room, we pray of thee. Bless us with liberality and prayer in the Spirit. Bless thy servant as he ministers to the congregation that will gather in due course. And O Lord, pour us out a blessing this day. May we depart this place tonight in thy will, saying it was good for us to have been here, for it was here that we met with the Lord. We ask these things in the Savior's name, for thine eternal glory. Amen.